Hi, and welcome to your Not Allowed to Say the S Word, a Heartstopper podcast. We are the small pod that are big on heart and even bigger on Heartstopper, and we're not going to apologise for it. I'm the host, Luke Simpson, and I'm joined by a smaller yellow and blue crew today. I'm joined by Indigo Jackson and Cousin Ellie. How is everybody doing?
Good!
Fantastic. I feel like I say that every time.
Yeah, and it gets less and less believable every time you say it.
I'm always recovering from a lovely weekend.
I'm recovering from overeating chocolate.
It's Easter weekend for us here.
It is Easter weekend.
You poor thing.
For you guys, it'll be almost Christmas by the time you hear this. But for us, it's Easter weekend. I've actually not cracked into any Easter eggs yet. And I'm disappointed in myself. By the end of Easter Monday, I should have.
I've demolished two and a whole entire bag of Easter marshmallows. And eating an entire bag in one sitting really makes you feel rather sick.
Yeah, my problem is I do wrestling training on a Sunday, so the whole of Easter Sunday, where I would normally want to be sitting eating Easter eggs, I'm actually out wrestling, and then by the time I get home, I have dinner and go to bed. And then today, I've just had other things on. I managed to buy myself more Easter eggs today. Because they're £1.25.
They're all discounted, I know. I got some hot cross buns today because they've been reduced to like a fraction of the price. Yeah.
I did not even think about it. That's way too late now.
Every year, because, and I'm not ungrateful by any means, but when it comes to Easter eggs, sorry for those of you who aren't British and don't understand the joy of giant hollow chocolate Easter eggs with then accompanying chocolate bars or other things, because that is very much a British thing. I know other countries have Easter eggs that they call Easter eggs, but they're not like our Easter eggs, which are big hollow chocolate Easter eggs. The best ones are just Cadbury's Easter eggs. Chocolate tastes so much better when it's a Cadbury's Easter egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly so overwhelmed by the kindness and generosity of people that get me really special, nice Easter eggs. But actually, I just want the Cadbury's one. So after Easter, when I'm looking at all my really nice Easter eggs that people have bought me, I'm like, but also if I pop to the shop, then I know that all the nice Cadbury ones that are going to be like heavily reduced, and then they'll stock up on those, and then I've got the best of all worlds.
I have to say that Cadbury's is my second favourite.
Oh, what?
Because of Lindt. Lindt have a salted caramel one now, and it's just, it's the bee's knees.
Is that the one in like the kind of like turquoisey packet?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I bought it for my partner, and it is really, I sent him a picture to stop myself from eating it. Now I have to give it to him. I can't eat it. But I did buy one for myself as well in the end. And it was, oh my goodness. But I agree, Cadbury's is superior. See, in terms of general chocolate.
Lindt chocolate is nice, but it's not my best. For me, I wouldn't ever choose to buy Lindt for myself.
I like the Maltesers chocolate. I think it's the same company that do Mars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is it Nestle?
And Galaxy. Galaxy chocolate's good.
Galaxy chocolate is good, but I don't like it so much in the egg form.
Mm.
Oh.
Because sometimes Galaxy sort of bends the back of your throat, I feel like, anyway. I'm a chocolate connoisseur, Luke. You can sit there and laugh at me, but I eat a lot of chocolate.
As do I, don't you worry. Oh my god. Ellie's brother, Jake, he's got an ex-student who is like a...
Chocolatier.
An art chocolatier. And we got to sample this incredible Easter egg that he got from there, and it's... Like, it looked stunning, but it's like
it
metallic blue.
Ton.
Yeah, weighed a ton. It was metallic blue with like paint splatters all over it. Stunning. It came in this really fancy ass presentation box. But it was like a double shell Easter egg. So, really thick. outer shell, then a layer of unctuous.
What a disgusting word.
I know, but I love it. It's very Nigella. Unctuous salted caramel. And then another layer of chocolate. So really thick. You crack the egg open, and then it's got salted caramel like within its walls. That was good.
It was good. Wow. And the chocolate tasted a bit like Monty Bojangles chocolate.
I got my mum a Monty Bojangles.
Did you?
Egg,
yeah.
Because I'm a good son. But nothing beats just like, and mini eggs are the best.
Mm-hmm. Mini eggs are outstanding.
Oh, mini eggs or cream eggs?
Oh, both.
Cream eggs. You don't like white chocolate, do you?
I do.
Oh, I thought you didn't. Someone around this table doesn't, I feel.
I definitely do.
I have a feeling it was Skye that didn't like white chocolate as part of the list of many things. Yeah, she donuts didn't like.
And pancakes. Yeah, it could have been. But yeah, white chocolate cream eggs.
Oh, I've never had one, but that sounds divine.
Yeah, prefer the good. Original, but the white is nice as well.
It's not, yeah, it's not as good
where
as the original.
Where can I find these?
Shops, just any shops.
Yeah, they've been selling them for months. Probably won't get many now, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Order them online.
Enough of that. Let's get into other things, shall we? There were things I needed to share.
Something about your fundraising, maybe?
No, but that is worth talking about. Thanks to everyone who's donated to my Just Giving to help raise money for Switchboard LGBTQ Foundation. Please, please, please keep giving, giving, giving. Like, at this point, the tattoo's happening either way, but I really desperately want to make that £1,000 target because that is an amount of money that would just make such a difference. And I felt, actually, that's a point. I felt really cross with myself last week when we were talking about Charlie and his mental health struggles and his struggles with his eating disorders. And here we are supporting Switchboard, who are an organisation for people who are struggling, queer people who are struggling, just finding life difficult in any way, shape or form. It doesn't have to be like specifically, ooh, queer related struggles. You just are queer and you're having a difficult time, whatever it may be, and you're not sure who to talk to or how to talk to people about it, Switchboard is the place to go. And I'm really cross that I didn't mention that last week, but I'm going to mention it now. So help us support them, please. Give, give, give lots through my Just Giving. That'd be awesome. And yeah, and I'll get inked up as well. Thanks for bringing that up, Ellie. There was other stuff I wanted to talk about as well, but I can't remember what it is. Now, there is one big bit of news that needs to be addressed.
I really know where this is going.
Oh, you all know where this is going. And this will be old news to lots of you listening already, again, because of the timeline. But this is brand new news as of this week for us at time of recording. So we know now that Series 3 of Heartstopper is going to be released in October. And it was really exciting when I watched the episode this week and it said, new series coming in October. Yes. And I was like, yay! Not soon enough, but yay. But this week we were also hit with the really devastating news that not returning in October for Series 3 is National Treasure Academy Award winner Olivia Colman. And I'm really sad about it.
You might want to say that again because you said wiener.
Did I?
Academy Award wiener.
It was only, it wasn't quite wiener, but
it was like wiener.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can't even word wiener.
Oh.
I wasn't gonna say anything, but I thought, no, you're gonna listen back and be annoyed at yourself.
Okay.
Well, yeah, not coming back is National Treasure Academy Award winner. Olivia Colman. And I'm sad about it. We're just carrying on. And no, and I'm really sad about it. So, of course, I'm sad about it because it means that we've got a whole series where we're potentially not going to be able to say National Treasure Academy Award winner Olivia Colman. And that's sad. And I'm sad about it because I love her. I think she's iconic. But, like, genuinely, in my heart, I'm heart sad about it because it's not about Olivia Colman. It's about Sarah Nelson.
Mm.
And that relationship between Nick and his mum has been such an important one so far in the journey of Heartstopper. And I'm really sad that we're not going to have the opportunity. I'm really sad and I feel a bit let down. Not by anyone in particular, because I understand that it's no one's fault. Like, Heartstopper is a TV show, and as with all TV shows, you know, unless you're getting renewed for like three series in a, on the trot, decisions can often be not quite last minute, but things happen quickly. And it's like, as soon as you get renewed, yeah, okay, we'll go. And then, like, we don't know, series four is happening yet. No one knows, we're hopeful, but it's an ever-evolving, ever-developing process. And Olivia Colman is busy appearing in everything and is probably booked up for the next, like, decade solid on projects. Hollywood projects. She's part of the Marvel Universe now, isn't she, I think?
Yeah, again. I think so.
And, yeah, so I totally understand why it hasn't happened, and I totally agree with the decision that you can't recast Sarah Nelson. She's Sarah Nelson at this point. But yeah, I do feel really let down as a fan of Heartstopper, but also as somebody so invested in the messages that this show contains and sends out for young people in that situation, that this relationship that is such an important and such a healthy representation of a mother's queer son relationship. And, you know, as in so many ways in Heartstopper, in a way that hasn't really been expressed in this way before. I'm really sad that that's not going to be a part of series 3. I really hope that if there's a series 4, she's back for that. But I'm really sad that she's not going to be a part of series 3. And yeah, I do feel a bit let down by it. But not, again, not blaming anyone for it. But I feel robbed of that. And I know the book fans are feeling really gutted about it, because there's apparently a really key scene in, I think it's volume 4 of the book, series 3 is based on, that Sarah Nelson was an integral or an important part of. I don't know it because I haven't read the books yet, but from what I've seen online, people are really upset that that's not going to play out as they were hoping for and expecting to. And Alice Oseman has said, oh, the scene is still in there and it's been reworked and we still do it justice. But yeah, I'm just really sad. I'm sad about it.
I mean, can't AI just kind of whip up an artificial image of Olivia Colman and stick her in that scene?
You wash your mouth out.
That sounds extortionately expensive as well. And I think you have to pay for someone's likeness as well if you do that.
Yeah. And I imagine Olivia Colman's copyright likeness would be quite pricey.
Yeah, and do you remember I said that the only person I've ever had say that Olivia Colman wasn't great was my friend Rosie's fiance, who works in AI, and so I get the feeling she's not a fan. And I'm support her on that. So that's sad. Oh, well. Life goes on. It's just a TV show, isn't it? It is just a TV show, isn't it?
Just keep saying it, and then you'll stop believing it, I'm sure.
We'll have to just keep going to the cinema to watch all of the films that Olivia Colman's in to get our Olivia Colman fix.
But like I say, it's not about Olivia Colman for me. It's about Sarah Nelson.
I know.
I don't think I'm going to be missing Olivia Colman in the next few years. I get the feeling I'm going to be seeing a lot of her, especially with my Cineworld Unlimited membership. But it's Sarah Nelson. Maybe I'm just really sensitive because we haven't seen her for so many episodes in this series as well. But let's get back to it, shall we? So we're not on series 3 yet. We're still on series 2. We're on series 2, episode 6. It's called Truth/Dare. I really wish they would just call it Truth or Dare, but it's Truth/Dare or Truth Dare. If you haven't already seen it, then as always, go away and watch it, because we're going to spoil everything about it for you. But if you have seen it, buckle up, let's get into it. Here's your synopsis. Nick introduces Charlie to his French father, Stefan, who reveals his plan to visit England. As an apology, Darcy arranges a party at the hotel room on Tara's birthday. Fellow student James, who has a crush on Isaac, kisses him, but Isaac takes no interest. Harry apologises about his past bullying to Charlie, who rejects his apology. In a game of truth or dare, Nick comes out! Yay! And says he is fine with people knowing his sexuality. After the party, Darcy tells Tara that she loves her. Meanwhile, supervising teachers Mr. Ajay and Mr. Farouk develop feelings for each other and kiss. And the rest. They and the students go home on the next day.
Before we get into it, I have to say, this might be the gayest episode of the entire series.
I know, I was trying to identify any straight people throughout the episode.
Yeah.
I did spot, the door got slammed in his face, but we'll get into that.
Yeah.
we're gonna talk about the party, but I was sitting there like, why is everyone so scared to come out when they're in an entire school of queers?
I was like, gay, questioning.
Even the extras on the streets in Paris were all gay. Did you notice?
Yes, I've made a note about one in particular.
Was it someone standing by the bus stop or something?
No, it was someone at the cafe for this first scene.
Honestly, like, I think everybody in Paris is portrayed as like a stereotypical gay.
Well, or a stereotypical Frenchman.
Yeah.
It is gay Paris.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui, in gay Paris. Well, let's get into it. And as we go through it, you can point out all of the queers that you noticed on the journey.
Gay.
Hey, gay.
Oh my god, I opened my mouth and a little purse falls out. That's for the Glee fans.
So, we begin with some lovely music with a French name. So, I'm going to butcher this. Oh, I'm going to butcher this. The spirit of Mrs. Doubt fails within me. I'm going to butcher this. On était beau, Balouin. By Luan. No, it's, yeah, it's something about Beauty. It's a lovely French song. It's what we start. And we start, it felt all different. It felt like they'd filmed it a bit differently. A bit like British indie filmy. I don't know. There was a thing about it. Just mean, at the very start.
Yeah. I didn't notice much because Nick was still wearing those red shorts. And that's all I could focus on.
So, here's how I've written it. Feels different. Nick still in terrible shorts. Yeah. Those are my first two things I've written about this episode.
The first thing I wrote, Nick is still wearing those ugly shorts.
I was so cross.
I wrote that they're holding hands.
Yeah, I then noticed that.
Yeah.
It was only after the shorts and I was cross about it. they're coming out of the metro holding hands.
Because gay Paris.
But then they stop holding hands as they come down the steps, you know, because papa. That's what he calls him.
I know.
That's what French people call their dance.
It's funny every time. Baba.
Nicole.
Colours.
No, we've talked about this before. The 90s Renault Clio advert.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I know. I still need to Google this and watch it.
We're going to watch it right now. For those of you of a certain age, you'll remember the Renault Clio adverts.
I'm sure I've seen it.
You must have.
I'm sure I have.
The only car advert I remember is the Citroën one that was like, Citroën, creative technology. That's the only
one I remember. Oh, iconic.
And the Canyonero one from The Simpsons.
Canyonero.
Yeah.
Canyonero. Here we are.
Oh, it's so ugly. The car.
Nicole?
I've never seen that in my life.
There's a whole series of them.
Nicole?
Papa?
Oui. Anyway, where were we? Right at the very beginning. So they're coming down the steps, they release hands, Nick looks a bit worried, and Charlie, he's so good, isn't he good?
He is.
Yeah, he says, would you feel better if I waited here? And Nick says, no, please come with me. Oh, and it's sweet. Nick's dad, is it what you expected, Ellie?
No, I don't know what I expected, but no, he's not what I expected.
I expected someone a little bit more...
attractive?
Buff. Dishy.
Yeah, agreed.
But then he looked
like David's dad. Do you know what I mean? Not Nick's necessarily, but David.
I don't know. I had an instant like hatred for him as soon as I saw him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like instantaneous. I could feel the energy coming off of him.
Yeah. I want to say that, you know, I don't judge people by first appearances, but I do. And I judged him negatively.
Is that just based on this moment or is it the build-up as well?
It's the build-up,
I think the build-up has swayed my opinion off the bat.
I don't know that there was a... Yeah, maybe a little bit. But mostly it was his face. Didn't like
and
it.
And you know what? That's valid. And as they sat down, this is when I noticed the person. Yeah. There was this very stylish extra who had the most French moustache I've ever seen in my life. It was one of those like curled at the end, and his hair was perfectly coiffed, and he had this yellow and white striped t-shirt on. And I just thought, you better work. He looked incredible, and I couldn't help, I was just looking at him the whole time, like, you're drawing my focus.
I need to go back and see this guy.
Yeah, me too, I didn't notice.
No, he was dishy.
Oh, oui?
Oui, oui.
Très bien. Bonjour. Comment ça va? Ça va bien, merci.
Mon amour.
J'adore.
Badior.
No, I need to find. J'adore. By Dior. It's good, isn't it? It's good.
It was interesting.
Thank you. But yeah, so as they sit down with Papa, Nicole... Nicolas! Oh no, the power of the 90s is within me. Nicholas. Ah, what's wrong with me? Nick! It's just called Nick!
Papa!
Nick!
Papa!
Nicolas!
Papa.
Nicola.
Papa.
Nicola. Nick says, this is my... And then he's like, I'm Charlie. ooh, just awkward, tension, stress. Yeah. I just want it to be easy. Oh, but it's not.
It was nice to see Charlie being the tension in. Reliever.
Yeah, just sort of stepping up.
He sort of knew what he was doing in this situation. It was nice.
He felt very confident and in control.
Yes.
And I was proud of him.
Yeah, I feel like that doesn't happen very often with him.
No. But I did ask, what is the plan here then? Is Nick's plan that he's going to come out? Why has he brought Charlie here? What's the plan?
Yeah, that's the thing. When he first invited Charlie to come with, I assumed he wanted to introduce Charlie as his boyfriend. But I also knew that that was going to be a lot harder than he probably first thought and that it wouldn't happen. And I think as soon as they've got there and Nick is faced with Papa, I think he's gone, no, like, not happening.
What's the French word for no?
No.
Well. Papa? No.
No. Yeah, Charlie's making a very good first impression, I thought. He's very confident, very smiley, very... hello, hi, I'm Charlie. Nice to meet you.
My only thing was sit up straight. He sits like a slouch.
I absolutely cannot throw any shade on anyone because I have the worst seated posture. Oh,
so do I.
Like how I'm sitting right now, I'm not one to talk, but if I was meeting a parent, back straight, just in case they notice, but that might be my grandmother's influence. You can slouch over time, but you need to impress first, so tits and teeth.
Noted. I must have been making terrible first impressions on lots of people at my time. But to be fair, I know I have, but nothing to do with how I'm sitting.
I have a very judgmental grandmother. Love her to bits.
It seemed a little rich of Papa. This is what we're calling him now for forevermore.
I'm
Papa.
Okay with that.
For Papa to say, you never obviously... I was like, you're his dad, he's a 16-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Sorry, whose responsibility is it to visit whom?
Okay, this really...
Sir, monsieur.
This upset me so much because I've had this exact conversation with my own dad and he said, you never make an effort with me. I was 16. Yeah. And I said, well, you're the grown-up, I'm a kid with no money.
Yeah.
And it's the same for Nick. He's got no money to go to France.
Jet himself off to Paris, can he?
It's the parents' responsibility to make the effort with their children.
Yeah.
Your children do not owe you anything.
Yeah, don't scapegoat your teenage child for your parental failings. It makes me really cross.
Yeah.
It makes me really cross. Because it's something that happens in so many different ways, in so many different environments. But, you know, as a teacher, I've seen it a lot over my years of parents blaming others for their shortcomings as parents and blaming their children for shortcomings. It's like, no, you are the parent. You have a responsibility. Sorry, no. I got really cross at this point, and this is when I knew I didn't like him.
Yeah.
Mm. I suspected. Now I know. Cemented. I don't like him. Cemented. And then he was talking about Nick graduating. Okay, first mate in this country. We don't graduate school. We don't graduate college. We graduate university. That's a whole nother kettle of fish. Okay, so there is no graduating at this point. Nick was like, I've got 2 more years. No, he's got 2 more years until he finishes compulsory education. And he finishes his A-level college or whatever other form of compulsory education he continues up to the age of 18. But there's no graduating. We don't graduate.
No, it's also, that question was also so annoying because why do you not know how far along in your education your son is?
For the same reason you're blaming your teenage son for not coming to visit you.
It's just, his lack of interest is just so poignant and it just makes me so angry and sad for Nick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So having a dad like that is just not, it's not nice.
I'm really interested to, like, I was trying to kind of guess what Charlie's opinions were and if, because Charlie's dad seems quite present, quite involved, quite supportive.
He seems great,
yeah.
With the exception of the hanky-panky business and getting involved with the like, Nick ban and stuff. He seems great.
Yeah, but I think he seems, like, overall pretty supportive and very present parent.
And even what he was doing it out of being a good dad.
Yeah, so I reckon for Charlie to see another dad so completely, like, detached from his son must have just been really, like, strange.
But it did also make me think, oh, I want Nick to get back home to his mum. Mm.
Yeah.
And then that made me more sad about no Sarah Nelson in the next series.
And that's probably why Nick is so close to his mum, because she's been playing both those roles and they've formed, you know, they've got very, very close.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it's how he's turned out so well. She's done an incredible job. If this is what his dad is, and he's turned out as impeccably as he has, and they've got such a good relationship together. She's done a great job.
Makes me wonder what happened with David.
Mm.
What went wrong?
Well,
is it the firstborn thing? You know, sometimes the first time they don't get it right.
Well, maybe he just takes after his dad more than his mum, probably.
Yeah, he clearly had a few more years with dad around. And it sounds, from what we've heard, like from when David was saying way back when, oh, should have gone and stayed with dad. And then further comments in this conversation we're about to get to, which I'm sure we're all going to be really positive about. It sounds like, yeah, David's got a much closer relationship with his dad. Maybe they're a little bit more alike.
Mm-hmm.
So already we got the measure of the situation with, oh, you never come to visit. But then also, Nick hasn't even been invited to
meet his
come and stay at his apartment or meet his partner. So what? He's
all,
gross.
He's all awful. Kinds of man.
Yeah, that really angered me. Like, oh yeah, you can't come this summer because we're having the kitchen redesigned. I'm sorry, is that a reason not to have your son come and visit yeah. you, who very, very rarely sees you?
And lives in another country.
Do you think he's going to care if the apartment is a little bit of a mess? No, obviously not. Really annoyed me.
It's just an excuse.
Yeah, it's all excuses. He's and all Nick excuses is... for being a terrible dad.
And Nick is so just, like, understanding and, like, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's okay. You know, I'd still love to meet her sometime. If I was Nick, I'd be like, right, I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Yeah, but no, because what else can... Yeah, you can. You can kick off.
You can get there eventually. You're still a bit young to draw that conclusion, I think.
Yeah.
I had to grow up first before making that decision myself, so...
At the end of the day, he's a 16-year-old boy, and he's probably feeling if he does that, then he's going to end up without a dad. And he at least wants some kind of dad, if he's not really got one. He's got something of a dad at this point.
He's still longing for that, like, parental acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
He still thinks that's really important.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we can be really harsh on the dad, because he is a grown-up, so he should know better. So we can just be as mean as we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he absolutely should know better. Got nothing but negative things to say about this man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Even his hair's awful.
Yeah, and I don't like his face. And then, just to make it even better, he goes off to take a phone call, comes back, and is like, "Oh, I gotta go."
The fact he answered it in the first place really upset me. You've not seen your son in, I'm assuming, at least a year. You've been talking to him for, what, 2 minutes at the most? Your phone rings and you answer it. Get out of my face.
He's made himself very unavailable. When he did make himself available, it was at the absolute last minute. And then almost as soon as Nick has sat down, he's blamed him for them not seeing each other. He's got all cagey and avoided inviting Nick round to meet his partner. And then he's taken a phone call and said, right, I've got to go. Oh, but hey, I've got great news. I'll be in England next week. Just the whole thing.
Awful.
The whole thing. It's just... And the way he said it as well, and the way Nick responded, it was like, oh, I'm going to be in England next week. I don't think he was even planning on coming to visit.
No, it didn't, it didn't seem like that at all, because he was like, oh, yeah, come for dinner. And his dad was just like, maybe I'll talk to your mother.
Yeah, we'll see if we can have that arranged.
Yeah.
Is what, around what he said, wasn't it? It was like a not committing to it sort of thing.
Not, yes, I'd love to. I have not seen you for so long. You're my son. I love you. Yeah. No, just, we'll see if we can. And Nick's like, Mum will be fine with it, and David would love to see you.
And then, what did he say? Oh, David, I really miss that boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Nick's face was a picture.
I miss that boy, but then also, just the pièce de résistance was right at the end in French when he said, keep up with the rugby. Girls love rugby players.
Which, by the way, excludes Charlie from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with people speaking in their mother tongues, of course. But Charlie clearly doesn't speak French, and you've just completely excluded him. He's just sat there waiting for this to be over.
Although I'm glad Charlie didn't hear that.
Well,
comment.
I think... I don't know.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there is that.
I do think it's all right to have a little word in French with your son right at the end of it.
Yeah, but not those words.
But it's the words, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you did cut me off halfway through it because it got worse.
I'm not sorry.
I'm going to do it all again. Keep up with the rugby. Girls love rugby players. David always had lots of girlfriends when he was your age.
Yeah.
Boom. Gone. End.
Lots of girlfriends.
Girlfriends.
They're not objects. Sorry.
Yeah, like that's makes a, me so an angry. Achievement.
Surely a better achievement would have to mean to have one really great, lovely girlfriend.
Yeah, that is a greater achievement.
Nick's taking it all in, and that's the worst part. Like, it's all going on board, and it's reinforcing a lot of ideas that he has about society and the world around him, because, of course, it's your dad. Of course, that's going to be a big influence on the way that you think and feel about the world around you and the people around you. I'm sad for him. He wanted it, and he's like, I wanted to tell him, but Charlie hasn't. Nick's like, he doesn't know me. He knows that I like rugby, and that's it. Yeah, and it's sad. It's just sad.
It's really sad.
Yeah. But like I say, Charlie's got him. And I love the way he's like, and you have permission to run all the way back to the bus.
Yeah, but did he offer that knowing that Nick's not the sort? Because no one would offer that to me, because I will take you up on that.
Yes, Imogen.
Exactly. Yes, Imogen / Isaac.
Imogen.
Sometimes, you know, when you offer things as an empty gesture, because you know they're not going to take it.
Mm.
Yeah. And that... sort of felt like that, but I think he did mean it.
I think he meant it.
But I'm still a bit cynical, so.
It's like when you've got a friend round and it's nearing dinner time and you've already made dinner and there's not enough for them, but you sort of have to be polite and be like, oh, do you want to stay for dinner? But you're secretly hoping they say no, because if they say yes, you're screwed.
I've never once done that in my life.
If they say yes, you're not eating.
Yeah.
We go back to the hotel. It's evening time. Isaac's in between chili. That's quite cute. Yeah. They're playing Where's Wally? Uela Wally.
I know, I was thinking Isaac's reading materials, you know, gone up in the world.
Yep.
He's gone from his novels to Where's Wally.
He made me laugh though when he just went, have you guys still not found him yet? Of course you found him, Isaac. You've probably studied these books since the age of two.
And of course Nick hasn't, bless. No, I know, but you know, we love him, but you know.
Yeah, sometimes looking is hard.
Do we need to talk about towel shorts in this scene?
Yeah, I noticed them. Quite loud.
Horrific.
Yeah. There's no defence for them really, is there?
And I am usually a big fan of towel's fashion sense. I usually think it does really well, but these sort of Aztec print, or I don't know what
like
they were.
Geometric almost.
This was a really disappointing episode for fashion in general, I felt.
I had some moments for me.
No, I don't know. No, nothing.
Well, we'll get to it at the end of next week. Imogen had a nice beret.
She did. But I don't want to keep complimenting the beret. It's the same outfit in different colours, you know what I mean? Which is
no, but it wasn't,
very my brand.
No, it wasn't this time, because she was wearing a stripy jumper instead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she was. We'll get to she it. Was very much giving mime.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to it. But yeah, so he bursts out in these horrific shorts and says, I have something to share. And it's all about him and Elle towel together at last, and it's big news, and there's a big celebration, and the girls are celebrating, and the boys are celebrating, and they have to know the whole story, and everyone's very invested in it. And
especially
this is
Isaac.
Especially
very
Isaac.
Surprised. He was the most enthusiastic. I must know everything right now.
Mm.
Yes, even though he wrote it, so he does really. It's because he wants to hear his good work.
He's done
good work there. He was like, I'm going to write this scene where they make out in the Louvre, and he wants to hear it back because he knows it sounds good. Can't blame him.
No.
Can't blame him. Everyone wants to know, everyone needs to know if they're going to be girlfriend, boyfriend.
I love that. It's like, oh yeah, they kissed a matter of hours ago, and it's, are you official?
Yeah.
Are you officially in a relationship? Like,
this has felt so accurate.
Yes, it really did.
So accurate to being a 15, 16 year old. Yeah, it was spot on the money. I had a little montage in my own head of all of the times this happened when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And they were all exactly like this. It was great. And then they went exploring the hotel. So off they go, sneaking around the hotel. And by the way, it's Tara's birthday tomorrow. That got snuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just love the way she snuck it in. She's like, well, it's my birthday tomorrow, so you have to do what I want. That's the energy that I carry with me. At all times.
And yet you're still Tao.
Tarao. That's a cross between Tara and Tao. No, it didn't work. Didn't work. Ignore me.
It's Tower.
That makes more sense.
Thank you.
I like Tarao. Yeah, they go exploring the hotel. This took me back to, basically any school trip I went on when we were in a hotel. Always happened. There was always one night we went exploring.
Really?
I can't say, yeah, and I can't say too much more about that because one of those trips, my mum was one of the teachers on that trip. So if I say any more, I will incriminate myself.
Do you think she's still going to care?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, so they go off exploring past the Orangina machine, vending machine, past the
really wanted
Mentos.
One after that.
Orangina, there's nothing more European. There are lots of things more European, but I just love Orangina.
I think it's Rubicon iconic. And Orangina are the most European drinks.
Rubicon?
Yeah, it feels very European. Yeah, like the fizzy one.
No.
I know it's not European, but it feels it has the same energy as Orangina to me.
No.
I said I felt.
No. Rubicon to me is little corner shops in London.
Mm.
When I lived in London.
I'm not very well versed in London. But it's only specifically the mango sparkly one.
Rubicon and also Car. I used to get Car sparkling pineapple from the from the little corner shop around flat in London.
Yeah, those are corner shop drinks. And anything by bar.
Yeah, no, but I'm thinking the reason Rubicon and Car, because of the strong Afro-Caribbean population in London, and so I'm talking about those particular corner shops that are like full of Afro-Caribbean stuff.
They're which the is best like
in every corner shop in London these days. Yeah, it's very, for me, it's a London thing. And you get them everywhere nowadays, but it takes me back to mid-2000s when I was there, and that was the only place you could get them. Corner shops in London. But Orangina, Euro.
Eurostar.
Yeah, Eurostar. Towel are making up for lost time. Kissing in the corridors. They are all over each other now. Mm-hmm. Oh, we've had one kiss and the floodgates have been unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Get a room, guys. Chili are together in another corridor. They're like, finally, we're together. It was a very blue lit corridor with little yellow windows in the back behind them.
Yeah.
I liked Nick was like, if you even think about giving me... Oh no, Charlie, sorry, was like, you even think about giving me another hickey.
That sounded like an invitation to me. That's what I thought he was doing. No, no, please don't. Don't give me another hickey.
Stop. No, I hate it. It's the worst.
I couldn't possibly fight back.
I'm so weak. I'm in distress.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I think he really didn't want another one.
Then why did he say it?
Because he was like, don't even think about it.
Please.
I think he was anticipating Nick going in for a kiss, so then was like, hang on a minute.
I thought it was legit.
Agreed.
Lonely Island. I'm sure one of the answers would another
minority for you to be in.
I'm running out of pin space.
Is that okay? Am I allowed to say
that? All these flags are weighing me down.
We're all minorities here, it's fine.
What minorities? We're in the Glee Club.
We're the majority here in Manchester.
Oh, I wonder how many Glee references I'm going to fit in today.
Please no more. But then, it goes from like, oh, it's going to get all hot and heavy to actually it's a really sweet moment because Nick's checking in on Charlie. Oh,
I loved this,
It goes to check in on how Charlie's feeling after fainting earlier that day. And then Charlie,
deflects
instantly.
Straight away.
Yep.
Instant deflection. Oh, no, but how are you feeling about your dad? We can all see what's going on here. But Nick's not.
He's not letting it happen.
He's not letting it happen, and I like it. He's like, I know that I've been really stressed about coming out, but I don't think I've really considered how stressed you are about it all.
Which we have spoken about as well. We felt like he wasn't really paying attention to it, but he clearly is now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that fainting has really scared him.
Mm.
Yeah, and good for him for being very mature and talking about it and saying, no, I've noticed this and we're going to talk about it. Charlie, again, dismissing it though. Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I feel. It's not about me.
It matters to me.
That was cute.
Yeah.
Nick's just not letting him get away with it. And it's a difficult balance for people when they're struggling with their mental health. You've got to sometimes give them the space they need. And sometimes, always, you know, you can't push too hard on things, but at the same time, don't let them deflect it all, because then you're not going to get to the root of it and work through it together. Good job, Nicholas. Impressed with both of you so far, Chili, this episode. Keep it up, please. Very mature. Feel like they're growing together.
They're leaning on each other a lot.
Mm. And then they go in to kiss and they get busted by Mr. A and Mr. F. Mr. A, he's so sweet.
He is.
Afterwards, he's like, couldn't you just let him get away with it? Just let it go.
I thought like you would have been like that. Had been you.
100%.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
If it was two little gay boys, I'm all here for it. If it was a straight couple,
you'd disgust me. You're disgusting.
And also, Mr. A knows Charlie's kind of like challenges and, you know, everything that sort of he's been involved in Charlie's journey. So I think he's got obviously got like a soft spot for Charlie and knows that...
I didn't even think about that, but you're, yeah, absolutely.
I think if it was anyone else, even if it was like Tara and Darcy, they probably, he wouldn't have reacted the same, I think. But because it's Charlie and Nick and he knows kind of...
Yeah, he knows, I think...
He knows what it's taken to get to this point.
He knows probably more about this, or the build-up to this, than anybody,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
actually.
I would say bar Tori. I think Tori is also very fully caught up because she keeps asking. She's been asking questions the whole time since the beginning.
Yes, but Charlie wasn't forthcoming with his answers.
No, yes. Well, there is.
Whereas
that.
he was going into the art room and saying
it's a rugby boy and yeah.
Yeah. How do you forget about the straight guy that you have a crush on and this that? Yeah, Mr. A's the one that knows. Oh
yeah.
So then Mr. A's also like, I'm pretty sure I did the exact same thing when I was their age, sneaking around like that with a boy. And then he said, you never did anything like that? And I wrote, what's going on here?
Mr. A definitely was a bit of a crush.
Going on here. Well, I just...
I'm wondering, yeah.
The way he threw in with a boy.
Yeah.
Was very pointed, it felt like.
I think he's obviously had his suspicions about Mr. F's sexuality, but I feel like he didn't know, so he was trying to kind of pry and figure out.
Oh, no, I read it as that he knows.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's two gay teachers that work together.
To be honest, Mr. Fruit has been sort of dropping tiny little hints. Like, it doesn't come as a complete surprise.
Well, there's just been a bit of, like, tension and chemistry between them. But it did still come as a surprise to me. I kind of thought...
It came as a surprise to me when I first watched it. And yeah, my initial response was, what's going on here? But no, I never read it as Mr. A didn't know that this was him trying to pry stuff out of him. I read it as he knew. He was having the conversation, like, you know, I did this with boys. Didn't you ever do the same? Because yeah, they're colleagues.
Yeah, but there aren't, you know. And they're gay men. There may well be, I think there are a lot of teachers who might work in different departments and aren't, you know, particularly close to other colleagues and don't, you know, haven't shared their kind of personal life or information like that.
I don't talk about any of my personal business with any of my colleagues.
They
know nothing about me.
I maybe did.
Oh, so overtly gay.
I was going to say, but they know those bits about you.
Well, yeah, I come into work with makeup and earrings on. If they thought I was straight, then there's something seriously wrong with them.
Yeah, when I was teaching, my department knew about my relationship and my, like, home life and stuff like that, but none of the other teachers across the other departments in the school knew, unless it came up in conversation, but it just didn't, because we didn't really interact that much.
I feel like I knew all of the gay teachers that I've worked with, and they all knew me. But then Mr. F goes on to talk about not figuring out your sexuality, or not figuring out you're gay, till you're in your late 20s, and missing out on what he's termed beautiful gay teenage experiences. Now,
did that exist back then?
This is what I've written here, is I feel I was robbed of that in my time as well.
Even I felt like that.
Mm.
And that's the whole point about this TV show, and why it's breaking so many people of my generation. Because all these beautiful depictions of young romance...
weren't possible back then.
You didn't exist. Yeah, they didn't exist when we were that age. They existed for straight people. Oh, so many Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Harvey and Sabrina. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Well, that's not a healthy example. I don't know why I've picked that. Buffy and Angel, not a healthy example. But do you know what I mean? Every teenage TV show was built around beautiful teenage relationships.
Yeah.
But none of that was queer. None of that was queer. And so when I was a teenager, I wasn't getting the beautiful teenage romantic experience that everyone else was. So yeah, I was robbed of that too. And everyone else of my generation was. And probably I feel that, I don't know, because Mr. A's talking about sneaking around with boys. Even if we were at that age, it wasn't in the wholesome romantic way that is being described or depicted in this TV show.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking to myself, how much should I really say about what it's really like when you're queer and 18?
Well, was it like when you're queer and 18 in those days?
Yeah, because obviously I was still in the generation of apps, but they were still quite new. So the ones that you would use were still very dangerous.
I'm pre-app.
And it was...
I'm pre-app, baby.
And it was just... It was just an abundance of older men trying to...
Prey
on inexperienced 18-year-olds. Because we still didn't have... We weren't living in a time where we knew anything about dating, about sex, about what's a healthy dynamic and what's not, because it's just not something we were allowed to be told about.
No. Mm. Again, I've mentioned it way, way back, but when I was that age, the only examples of queer teenage life that were really shown to me were Queer as Folk, which was not a healthy depiction because it's all about a 16-year-old kid like busting out of school to go off with grown adult gay men and go clubbing and drinking and taking drugs and having wild sex and discovering the gay scene that way, which I'm not saying was inaccurate or incorrect, but wasn't healthy.
Mm, for sure.
Or, yeah, like Dawson's Creek when Jack came out as gay, but his life was made horrendously difficult in that. And that was what you were seeing. You were like, I wasn't just having a nice, normal, teenage, beautiful gay experience like this show shows us.
Yeah, I just thought, I don't know if you can actually keep this in, but I've just remembered an experience I had at 18 that would have been more prevalent to when Mr. Ray was an 18-year-old, because it was all in person.
Mm.
I was clubbing and there was this 30-year-old primary school teacher. I'd freshly turned 18 and he was hitting on me like crazy and was making it a point of it to let me know he was a teacher, like he had his life together and all that. And really liked how young I was. Yeah, it was, didn't clock it at the time because I didn't know anything. This is what I mean. But he put his hand up my shirt at one point, and then when he realised I had body hair, completely lost interest.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and years later, thinking about that experience, like in this moment, because I've blocked that out for years. To think about it now, it's scary. That's terrifying. That raises
some red flags, right?
That is a lot of red flags. That's a teacher.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he might not have been a teacher, but that's what he claimed to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had lots of experiences as a teenager that I look back on and I'm like, I really thought I knew what I was doing.
We all did.
I owned that situation. I look back on it and I'm like, that was wrong. And that other person should have known better and probably did know better, but did it anyway.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
So yeah, this thing that Mr. Fruit's talking about just makes absolutely no sense to me. No. But when I listened, I was like, I can't relate to that.
No, because I'm assuming that Mr. A and Mr. F are somewhere between our ages. So like early 30s, I reckon.
Mm.
Yeah, although I feel that they might be my age.
Maybe.
So they should have had a similar experience to me, but...
In which case he's...
But it's different for everyone.
In which case he's only just discovering his own queer identity then.
Well, that's what makes me think he's my age, because it all seems so new to him.
Yeah.
That makes me feel so old, so
thanks. You're welcome. Anytime.
I just have to mention that I did clock that in the vending machine behind them that it sold Milka chocolate bars, and I was like, someone get one for Nick. He needs to experience it. I know they're not Milka Oreo, but he needs to experience it, because I think he's going to like it. Oh, and he's like, it's probably a bit late for me to have any youthful moments of discovery.
That was laying it on, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Well,
they're flirting at this point.
They are, but there's something in this that I would then want to talk more about, because Mr. A is like, well, no, not necessarily. And we know that that's them flirting with each other. But it did also make me think about something that, and it's a conversation I've had with lots of people a lot of the time, and it's a conversation I've heard lots of other people have as well. Like, I haven't come up with all this great wisdom. I just hear it and I share it. A lot of the time it relates to trans people, and especially trans people who have come out like well into adulthood. But it can apply to queer people of any genre, of any form of queer that are coming out in adulthood, is that when they come out, suddenly that's their time when they get to be living that teenage life again.
Yeah.
So it applies a lot to trans people, because quite often you hear really negative comments about older trans, usually older trans women who are maybe wearing clothes that people deem not suitable for a woman of their age, or their makeup is a bit extreme, or they're not quite as put together as some people want them to. And I'm like, and I look at it, I'm like, okay, if that was a 15-year-old girl, then you would just put that down to a 15-year-old girl figuring out who she is, finding her style, exploring fashion, learning makeup, learning how to do her hair. That's essentially what this person is going through, but maybe at the age of like 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
So you just celebrate the fact fact that they're getting the opportunity to do it. They're getting the opportunity to explore all that stuff that they've wanted to explore for their whole lives.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful for them to do it. So there's no age limit on what is what I'm saying here. There's no age limit on having your quote-unquote teenage experiences, because at this point you're starting your life, it's like a new puberty, you're starting your life again.
Well, in your new form.
Well, exactly, that's we're putting that onto it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all, yeah, it's like, it's the reason that butterflies are used so representatively for trans people. But again, in any queer setting like this, it's like that caterpillar coming out of the cocoon, and it's a new creature, and so you've got to explore it all again. So yeah, if you're in your late 20s and you're just coming out, then by all means use that as your opportunity to have your quote unquote beautiful teenage gay experiences. Unfortunately, you'll probably be surrounded by a lot of older jaded gays that that aren't going to be sharing those experiences with you, and they'll be going, oh, been there, done that, I'm already broken by it all. But you live your best new gay life.
I think that's such a like a gorgeous way of looking at it as well. Because like, I've always, when I've seen, like, because like, there's been a few stories on This Morning and things like that about people coming out in their 70s as trans.
Mm.
And I really love that they sometimes showcase those people. Obviously, to a British public audience, they're going to get a lot of scrutiny. But mm-hmm. they always handle it with such care. And you see these people light up. Even though they aren't put together the way that they probably want to be, there is something quite special about seeing them start it.
Yeah.
And you can look at them and just think, wow, you're on your way. That's so lovely.
Yeah.
I just love the way you put it. It was so nice.
Oh, thanks, mate. No problems. Anytime. So, no age limit on it. You go with your bad self, Mr. F. And yeah.
Follow your instincts.
Mr. A is definitely flirting.
Oh.
Did you see Mr. F's face when he said, are you flirting with me? He looked terrified. Did you see his face?
Yeah.
It really made me laugh. He was like,
maybe I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he got closer to him when he said that as well, didn't he? He was like, maybe I am. And Mr. A's not an ugly man. Like, even I was feeling a bit like, oh my god, I need to get out of here.
I don't find him sexy in any way, shape, or form. Sorry. I don't find either of them sexy in any way, shape, or form.
No, nor me.
Sorry to say.
I like them both.
You get in there.
I've got quite a wide range of taste, though.
I do. It's just they're not either of them. Neither of them are it. It's the next morning. We're celebrating Tara's 16th birthday at breakfast. Vista A is me in teacher form again.
Literally put that down. I was like, Miss, these teachers are you on This Morning. The bitterness in their voices.
This is what teachers, this is how it is for teachers. I'm sorry, this is how we all are. But yeah, they're going to be a handful today. That is me every single morning of residential when I take the kids up. Wake up in the morning, myself and my wonderful TA, Mrs. Bliss, we sit down and I'm like, they're going to be hard work today. And that's how we start the day. It's lovely. Darcy's birthday gift.
I thought that was great.
For Tara. It's a tish with her face all over it.
I've been waiting for this because my first birthday with my partner, he did something eerily similar to this as a joke present, but it's a pillow.
Pillow, yeah, I've seen that.
Shaped like a person with his face on it.
Yeah.
And a jumper that says I Heart Indigo on it.
Don't like.
I hate it. It's the ugliest pillow I've ever seen in my life, but it's so quintessentially him.
Yeah. And
this jumper is quintessentially Darcy.
Yeah.
And it just, I loved it. Just thought, that's their relationship in a nutshell, isn't it?
It is. And the fact Tara was just like, I hate it.
Yeah.
And Darcy was like, I knew you would.
Yeah. That's what I said. I was like, I hate this pillow, but I love you for it.
Whilst everyone else was just shocked, like, oh my God, she did it. No way. And Tara's just like, I hate it. I knew you would. Great. That's a good relationship.
Yeah. It is.
And then Darcy goes on to apologise.
Sorry, who's the host now? All right.
nice to see you switched up a little bit.
Yeah. No, honestly, jump in by all means, guys.
Throw you off your order.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next scene.
Yeah. Let's skip to the end.
Yeah.
You're right, Ellie. Darcy does apologise for all of the recent stuff, and she plans to make it up to Tara.
By having a conversation, I hope.
One could hope. One won't hope. But one would like to hope.
Yeah.
And then we go back out in Paris and we've got Bros or Bros. I'm guessing Bros because Bros is the 80s band. I think it's Bros. Bros by Wolf Alice playing. I think this is like our third or fourth.
Yeah, there's
Wolf
a lot
Alice
of Wolf Alice.
Now.
Yeah.
Well into the Wolf Alice zone. They're taking selfies at the Arc de Triomphe. Isaac's having the time of his life in a cute looking bookshop.
Did you see how many books he was carrying? Yeah. I was thinking, obviously they're on the coach back, not the plane, but I was thinking, like, mate, you're never going to get them in your hand luggage.
But also, he could buy those anywhere, surely.
Yeah.
Why does he have to buy them all now in this shop in Paris?
Maybe, I didn't really notice, but were they all like hardbacks or something?
Mostly paperbacks, I think.
Oh. He's more of a paperback reader, isn't he?
Easier to transport.
Mm-hmm. I suppose. I just love a hardback. We've had this conversation, but I love
you wouldn't
hardback.
Like to fall asleep dropping a hardback book on your face like he sleeps. No.
Donk.
End up with a little squished nose. Terrible. Everyone's just being very cute, and it's very cute, and it's a montage, which you love in this show, Indigo.
Crickets. Yeah, no, I didn't like this montage either.
I thought it was very cute.
I don't think montages necessarily belong in a Heartstopper. They're not for me in this show. I do like a montage, just...
Mm. And yet they're such a quintessential part of this show. Well, they're in almost every episode.
Yeah, especially this series.
Yeah, especially Paris.
I don't really remember them in series one, though. Were there really many montages, if any?
Very few.
Except for the one at
montage?
Except for the one at the very end, where it just sort of showed their journey.
And the high montage at the start.
Mm-hmm.
The high montage.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, but episode again, one.
That then established...
The fact that they do montages in this show.
No, it established...
Montage of them running through the school. There are a couple of montages of them running through the school.
Mm. No. No, this is different.
Because there was sports day montage.
Yeah.
Then there was sports day running through school montage. Then there was running through school to rescue Tara from being locked in the room montage.
Was that a montage?
Sort of, yeah. I count it as a montage.
I wouldn't count that one as a montage. The sports day one, yes. But then I felt like that fit better than this series' montages have. They're just not great. I didn't notice them as much in the first season, maybe, but...
Yeah, I think they're more frequent in this series.
I feel like it feels like filler a little bit. When there's so much material, I just don't feel like it's necessary. They could have just left it as them taking selfies outside Notre Dame, because that was funny, that part. But you could have just left it at that. I didn't need all the other bit.
They probably got their money's worth out of being in Paris.
Mm.
Yeah, well, I suppose the saturation bill is through the roof, isn't it, for all this filming?
Mm. I like this montage myself. Good, thanks. Yeah. Imogen was not impressed with Notre Dame in this montage.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Imogen is me.
Towel are being all loved up. Oh, and then Chili were holding hands in a gay village.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
Also, Towel giving Ella a kiss on the cheek was really sweet as well.
Yeah.
In public, in front of everyone.
Yeah, because no shame. Straight and they can.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I would consider it a straight relationship.
It's a straight relationship. Yeah.
With a backstory.
But Elle is...
With a backstory. I love that. Yeah,
but Elle's queer, but she's heterosexual.
It's a straight relationship woman, with a little bit of spice.
Yeah. Let's not get into it in too much detail. It's a heterosexual relationship.
To the public eye, yeah.
To anyone, they're in a straight relationship.
To a glancer.
To anyone, because she's a woman.
Period.
Then we go back to the hotel. The boys are getting ready, I'm guessing, at this point for the big party, which I'm assuming is happening because it's Tara's birthday.
Yeah. All their best friends are going to be there.
I've put two and two together. The episode's called Truth or Dare. I'm guessing there's a game of Truth or Dare at a party in a hotel room because that's what happens on these trips.
Yeah, absolutely. As they should, because it's fun.
Yeah. The boys are getting ready. Charlie's trying to get some privacy with Nick, and Tal spots it immediately. But now he's all loved up. He gets it, and he's like, oh, yeah, you have some privacy. No problem.
All he had to do was ask.
He's changed his
tune.
Yeah, this annoyed me a little bit. I was like, oh, is it okay now, is it? I'm so glad I have your permission, straight boy, get out.
Mm. Now that you're happy, everyone else is allowed to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what it felt like.
That is what it's
right?
like.
How could you do that, Luke?
Well, I'm Tao, so I can relate. That is exactly what I'm like. Charlie's borrowing Nick's hoodie. I like Nick's as long as you don't steal it like you did the last three you borrowed. I actually quite like this one. Again, very relatable. Very relatable to me and my experience with my child.
Yeah, I've lost about 5 jumpers. Good job, I don't wear them anymore.
I'm the thief in the relationship.
Oh, I think that's one of the best things about being in a gay relationship is sharing clothes.
Yeah.
I
can't relate with very different sizes.
A double wardrobe is great.
Oh, the hoodie is green.
Yes.
And Nick's in blue.
Yes.
And that's just something I noticed. I really, really liked Nick's blue Nike jumper.
I'm so shocked.
It's kind of like... ombre.
It was pretty. And then the Nike tick was like, it blended in. It was almost the same shade of blue. And I liked the green hoodie as well.
I was going to say, Charlie's wearing a lot of green this season. Like a lot of green.
Because they're blending.
But it's only Charlie.
Because Nick's still on his individual journey.
Do you think that's why? I've been wondering, like, what's
the significance of it? Charlie's fully open to the blending and Nick is sort of getting there slowly.
Yeah, he's still on his journey, whereas I think Charlie's journey is now fully integrated with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I think you might be right there.
Then they have a very cute moment at the mirror.
This is when I started crying.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you don't like
no,
it.
No, I started crying. My God, it's the sweetest moment, ever.
This hit me so hard because, it felt so correct.
Yeah.
Mm.
It felt so real.
Yeah.
I felt this experience with every part of my personal history. This was the first moment where I felt they really seemed settled in as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've gone to that point now where they are one together.
Yeah.
Even though Nick's still on his little independent journey, still wearing blue, but it felt like they were one. This is the bit, because there's this weird thing, when I talk about me and my Charlie, I do talk about it as, I don't feel like he's a different person to me. I feel like he's a different part of me.
Mm.
Even though I don't know him anymore, that's many, many, many years in the past. But going back to that relationship, he wasn't a different person to me. If that makes sense.
You're intertwined with each other's lives at that point.
It's not even being intertwined with each other's lives. I don't want to get too gross about it, but
a piece of each other.
Yeah, it was just that thing. It was like we were connected in a different way. It just wasn't another person. He just was another part of me, an extension of me, another part of me. And that's how I feel it is with them at this point.
Yeah.
And it's really beautiful and it's destroyed me.
Yeah. I love how Charlie said, what are you doing? And Nick said, I'm recharging.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the point that got me.
Yeah, that got me as well.
That's just so lovely. And that's what everybody wants, isn't it? Imagine hearing that.
Mm.
Yeah. That's my problem. I've been out of charge for 20 years.
But look how productive you've been. Don't know what else to say to that.
And they just want some time for kissing. And it almost gets heavy, and then it's like, we're going to go.
So funny. That's so funny, and that's exactly what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get your hot bothered, and then let's go. Bye.
Yeah. Let's go. And Charlie's like, I hate you. No, but you like me. No, I hate you. It feels very British.
Yes.
And it feels exactly how I'd respond. More beautiful music. There's so much beautiful music in this episode. More beautiful music. 3D Feelings by Alfie Templeman. We're off to the girls' room. There's a party raging in the girls' room.
For a surprise party, the music's on pretty loud.
I know. I was like, everybody else in the hotel.
Yeah, there is not a chance that Mr. A or Mr. F haven't heard that and come and shut it down already.
Yeah, or the people who run the hotel.
Yeah, precisely. Knowing
how many underage children are in the hotel,
Yes, exactly. Bless Darcy. She's like, everything has to be perfect for Tara. She's a princess. Aww.
Which was very sweet, but also knowing the fact that she had a bottle of vodka on the go ready... just really contradicted that point completely.
Vodka is not the most princess drink.
Yeah. You want everything to be perfect, but I'm going to throw alcohol in the mix.
When you're fit.
Good job. That's a recipe for disaster. Everyone knows that, even at that age.
When I was 15 or 16, that was how to make a party perfect. Turn up with a bottle of cheap vodka.
No, well, I wouldn't say I went to parties back then anyway, because I was not very popular, but...
To be fair, even...
Never understood the appeal, though.
Even at that age, I was still turning up with wine. No, or
wine and cheese.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's what I wanted to talk about. You've reminded me. I went to my friend's pub the other night. See, it was a Thursday night. It was a Wednesday night. And I was at a pub just for a quick drink, just say hello. And this group of older guys were all gathering there. And this guy turned up with a carrier bag on its side. And out of the carrier bag, he produced this big tray of prepared little bits of cheese on crackers, and he and his friends every Wednesday night have cheese night at the pub. They just go to the pub, and they just eat cheese on crackers that they brought in themselves and pre-prepared. And I was like, and I love cheese and I love the idea of it, but I was like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't get my head around it.
It's funny that they go to the pub to do that, like, and that the pub is like fine with them bringing their food in.
Well, because the pub doesn't sell food apart from bars. Okay,
so that's fine. So they're selling drinks and yeah.
But yeah, and they've been doing it for years. They used to do it on a Tuesday, and now they do it on a Wednesday. They have cheese night.
Did you join them? Did you say, can I have some?
No one else is allowed.
Oh, nobody, private party.
Nobody. I mean, but they're doing it at the bar, but it's not welcome for anyone else to join in.
Interesting.
Should we start our own cheese
was
night?
Was it insane?
That is wild.
Shall we? Every Wednesday night, should we go to the Hearst Arms with our own cheeses?
Let's do it.
Cheese and crackers is so good. If we start doing this, I'm never gonna eat anything else. Like, I won't have dinner in preparation
for
cheese and crackers.
One of my lovely kids, on the last day of term, instead of giving me an Easter egg, gave me a camembert.
Actually, that's an idea. What we should do is, like, once a month after the podcast, we should go...
Fondue night.
We should go and do, like, cheese and a drink at the pub.
I go to bed after the podcast.
Well, maybe only on a non-school night, school holidays, half-term night. Yeah.
I'm still going to bed after this podcast.
Okay, we'll go without you.
Fine, we'll have cheese without you.
Yeah. Aww. you made your
or
choice.
Or we could do a pre-podcast cheese night. We could do a 5 p.m. cheese.
They have to be a school night.
Yes, of course.
I'm down with that. Why didn't you suggest that tonight?
Yeah.
Well, it would have been sad without the youngsters. You have to do the first one with all of us.
But no, parties, 15, 16, party, you have to have some vodka. I didn't know vodka.
How?
Huh?
How did they get it?
Mm-hmm.
French off license.
How were they able to smuggle it into the hotel?
Just stick it in your suitcase. Or your bag. No one's checking your bags as you go in and out of a hotel.
I'm just surprised because I think these are imagine... to be 15, 16-year-olds and you don't pass
I imagine
for a grown-up at that age.
I imagine she probably bought it from home. The thing is, when I was that age... That's what we did. We acquired bottles of booze and we brought them to parties. I don't know what it's like to be 15 and 16 nowadays, but I've got a sneaking suspicion it still happens.
Of course.
I just feel like that might still happen.
I don't know. I was hung up on the whole having vodka there thing, but I think it's the bartender in me just being really annoyed about it.
It felt 100% accurate to my
experience. Just wanted to go around and ID everyone.
I mean, Tara looks really...
annoyed.
Disappointed. Like, really kind of...
She wasn't happy
I don't know
it.
If she was disappointed with the surprise, or was it the fact that there was alcohol?
It was as soon as she pulled the vodka out,
worried
she
about
got
getting
worried.
In trouble, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, she seemed... And then I kind of started thinking, oh, has she got some kind of, like, issue about sort of, like, alcohol, you know, to do with family member or something? Like, it seemed like there was more to it.
I do think that the reason she was upset is because Darcy was going to be drinking when she thought she was maybe going to have a conversation with her.
Okay.
But you can't have a serious conversation with someone after they've had a drink. Or if you're having a drunk conversation, there's a chance they're not going to remember it. There's a chance you're going to get vomit on you. There's a whole plethora of things. Or they'll get angry at you. You can never judge how someone's going to be, especially not on vodka.
And also,
things.
She knows what Darcy's like anyway and probably thought, Darcy with vodka, this is going to be awful.
Yes.
Chaos demon times 100.
Exactly. More banging music plays, though. It is Then It All Goes Away by Dayglow. This is their second appearance on the soundtrack, I think. Tara looks unhappy watching Darcy taking little bottle lid shots. Again, so accurate to when I was...
Yeah, that I can relate to, yeah.
Yeah, fill up the bottle lid. Don't spill it, but fill it to the top. Don't spill it.
It's better than what happens at our staff parties. My boss, the pub manager, has a bottle of vodka in his hand and he just tells you to open your mouth and he pours it into your mouth.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
I don't like vodka.
It's not
awful. No, I don't either.
No.
It's terrible.
Can you not do that with pink gin instead? It's more tolerant going down, isn't it?
Or a rosé Rioja.
He's not paying for that.
He's
got one of those $6.99 litre bottles, the ones that taste like battery acid. Paint stripper, yeah. It's not even like it's Smirnoff or something tolerable.
Gross.
Towel making up for lost time again in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Wow, they are going to town.
Didn't lock the door.
No.
Idiots.
But he just boots Charlie out. I was like, I need to pee. Boots him out. It's funny, I guess.
I thought it was funny. Also, where are people supposed to wee?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't know that.
There's so many places you could go and snog. There was a balcony.
Yeah.
Another couple just snogging in front of everyone.
But then I suppose Isaac might have been killing their mood a little bit there.
Yeah, Isaac. Yeah. So Isaac was looking all uncomfortable, surrounded by all the couples and looking a bit uncomfortable and sad.
And that's the thing, it's not, I don't think he looks sad, I just think he looks uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I felt like he, well, when he went to sit outside in the corridor,
we're not there yet, sad. Ellie.
Yeah,
we're not there yet, because we've got to deal with the fact that Ben's walked in.
Ugh.
Why did he think that was an idea that he should have?
Why is Ben here?
And why did no one chuck him out?
Yeah.
Charlie's instantly sad. Nick instantly looks like he wants to fight him.
I just don't know why he would have gone. Nobody was talking to him. Clearly, nobody wanted him there, yet he's sticking around anyway. I could never.
Because he's desperate for Charlie.
Well, there is that. But also, you just look desperate.
Yeah.
You got to be a little bit self-aware.
But he's not self-aware at all, is he? Never has been.
I suppose not. But for somebody who's so concerned about how he's being perceived... Just found it interesting that he was there when he would have known that nobody wanted him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Isaac. So then we go to Isaac being so sitting on his own in the corridor looking sad. Doesn't even want to read his book. Oh.
That's how you know something's seriously wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been a lot more chatty and kind of involved this series. So I'm like, why are you so sad? Could he not find Wally?
He's sad that Nick couldn't find Wally.
But James finds him, and he's sweet.
He's not hanging really
around,
sweet.
Yeah, not hanging around with your friends. Yeah.
Also, seeing the actor Bradley Richards on Celebrity Big Brother, he is literally James in real life as well.
Really?
Yeah, he's that lovely as a person.
Oh.
And it's just, I don't know why, I just found that really lovely.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, not hanging out with your friends? And I was like, no, you? And he says, well, they'll just tease me about Charlie. And then he reveals that he did have a crush on him last year, actually. And then very quick said, but not anymore. But he does have a crush on someone.
this was really funny when he's beating around the bush, and then Isaac obviously just turns around and goes,
Is it me?
Yeah. But did you not notice that this mirrored Nick and Charlie?
Yeah.
At Harry's party.
Mm.
Birthday party.
Yeah, it did.
They've gone off to find their own secret place. Nick was like, got a crush on someone, and Charlie was like, is it me? Did he say, is it me?
No, I don't think he did.
No, he said, but yeah, it was kind of, it was
a similar... He was like, would you kiss me? Yeah. Is what he said.
Yeah, would you kiss someone who wasn't a girl, and then would you kiss me? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it called back to that, but yeah, Isaac was a lot more just like, is it me?
Yeah, it was like there's romantic music playing, and then you could just almost hear it cut out and go, is it me?
Yeah. I've written, it's a mirror of Chili, but uncomfortable. There's an awkward kiss, followed by lots of S wording. James is sorry. Isaac's sorry. Everyone's sorry.
Oh, I felt so sad Isaac, for James in this Isaac situation. Isaac runs
away. Yeah, James is left all sad. He didn't do anything wrong. No, he's just left all sad with leaves fluttering around him. Another lovely bit of music starts playing, Hot and Heavy by Lucy Degas. Isaac goes back into the party. And he's crying, and the leaves are fluttering around him, and it's just really sad.
Was he crying? I didn't see him.
Yeah, he was crying.
I didn't notice that either.
Yeah, he just walked in and started crying.
Oh. And nobody noticed.
He needs
including
to,
us.
Because
he needs to tell James what's on his mind, like...
What I don't think he does know what's on his mind, though. Yeah, he seems so confused about everything.
But then that's what's on his mind. I'm confused.
But it's hard to say that to people because they will then try and come up with all of their answers for you.
Yeah, oh God, You sort of have to at least get a grip as to why you're confused. Mm. What are you confused about? Because it's not so cut and dry, this. It's not so, I don't know if I'm gay or not. It's it's deeper than that.
Yeah. Don't know if I'm gay or not. I don't know if I'm lonely or not. Because he's seeing all these couples around him and he's clearly noticing all of that. And is that making him feel lonely? Is James not the right person? Or why does he feel... Yeah, what's he feeling? Why is he feeling it? He doesn't know, I don't think. He's sad. But he's sad and he's crying.
I remember when I first watched this, I thought, does he think he's not good enough to have romance himself? Is that why he's so obsessed with it?
Yeah.
That was my initial thoughts. He's like, because he's very obsessed with the idea of romance, but yeah, when it comes to him,
I think it's just he almost new dismisses the idea of it. Familiar and scary.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, absolutely is. That's a valid concern.
Oh, sad. We'll leave him weeping. And we'll come back and talk about the rest of it next week, I think, because...
It's all too much.
It's all too much. It's all too much. It's all too much. So yeah, so we'll come back and talk about it next week. And hopefully have a bigger crew with us next week. That'd be nice too. Although it will get uncomfortable as well. especially the young ones. I just need to say, I'm not a prude. I'm really not a prude. But just this situation makes me very uncomfortable at times. I'm not ready for it. But we'll talk about that next week. Until then, please, yes, do give gifts generously to my Just Giving page so we can raise £1,000. That'd be ideal for Switchboard. It'll make such a difference to so many people, so many queer people that just need to talk about it. Isaac could be talking to Switchboard about his experiences. Charlie could be talking to Switchboard. Ben could be talking to Switchboard. For goodness sake, if you haven't got someone to talk to, it's really a great resource. So let's support them, please. In the meantime, have a great week. Take care. Stay safe. And goodbye.